Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to begin some teaching here in an area. What I did was I had, I don't know if you folks remember, but back when I was teaching on the three parts of faith, about midway through on teaching, about the middle of the series, one morning, I said something, and I said it by the Spirit of God, because when I said it, I thought to myself, because it wasn't something I brought out, I said, I'm going to get over and talk about some things, dealing with some practicalities about faith and some things that just need to be dealt with that aren't necessarily taught a whole lot. And I said that, and when I said it, I thought, am I going to do that? That's what he wanted to do. And I realized that was what the Lord wanted me to do. But I bypassed that. When I went through the series, and when I got to the end of the series, and I was talking about, getting to the end of the series, I got to the end of it. And that came to me, and I just sort of, bypassed it, and so went on, taught something else. And so, I was looking, Lord, because usually lots of times I know things ahead I'm going to teach, and the Lord hadn't said nothing to me. And I found out why. He said, you got to go back, talk about this. So I had to repent for not obeying God and teaching some things. And one of the reasons is, and I know none of you ever have to put up with this, but especially from teaching and ministering, there are subjects sometimes and things that you're going to have to deal with that don't really excite people. But yet, people want answers. Unless they hear certain things, they will never get them. Unless they change, it's one thing, as I found out, it was when I got saved, I found out changes I had to make in my life. It wasn't, the Word of God's wonderful, but I had to change my life to come in line with things of God's Word so I could enjoy the blessing. I don't care how God's blessed you, you got to come in line with things in God's Word. And we're going to talk about some of these days. So I had to go back over and, I repented, asked the Lord to forgive me, and I said, look, I'll go back over and I'll do it. I said, I'll do what you want me to do. Because there's things dealing in the areas of faith. And I know from Kenneth Hagin, listening to his teaching, I was, in fact, the first minister's conference after I started in the full-time ministry, the first time I went to one of his minister's conference, the first thing that he said, he talked to the ministers, and which the majority in the place were pastors, and he said, he talked about, some of the things he's talked about in churches. You can't minister to people like a crusade. I mean, people like crusade stuff. Because you go to a crusade, they don't usually in a crusade, they never deal with you about your problems. They always say, oh, God's going to do this and we'll bless. And that's why they do that. Because their intent, what they're trying to accomplish is not teaching you everything about your life and what you need to do. You're supposed to be getting that in the church. And sorry to say, pastors don't do it. Brother Hagin said to the pastors, I'll never forget, Brother Hagin said, you pastors out there, you need to quit inviting traveling ministers to come in and talk about what you won't deal with. Boy, you could have heard a pin drop in that place. He said, you're the dads of the family, and you're the one that needs to deal with them. See, I've watched that naturally in families. I watch how families go. Lots of times, dads don't deal with stuff. They're all trying to get mom to deal with it because they want to be the nice guy. Everybody wants to be the nice guy. Well, I found this out when I got saved. God dealt with me. It's the tone of family. And the direction of my family was going to be led by me.
Amen.
And I watch that. When you get a man who's not a leader, you're going to always have, you're going to have real problems. You're going to have problems in it.
Amen. Preach.
You're going to have problems. I didn't set the system up. God did.
Amen.
How it works. But I found this. When I took my place, it made it better for everybody.
Amen.
It blessed my wife. It helped. And I took my place of leadership. That's an important thing that we need to understand and do that, is take that place of leadership. Now, one of the things I want to just say in opening, one thing is some things that I learned from Kenneth Hagin about things. We're going to deal, I call this following the law of faith. I didn't exactly know what else to call it. The Lord didn't give me a title for it. He just said, go do it. So, it's just one of those things. And so I thought, well, that sounds about as good as anything. Because I didn't know how to put a title on. But one of the things that we have in teaching is, God is interested in this and each one of us. God desires to bless us and do things, but there's purpose in it, why he wants to do. It's one of the things that I would hear Kenneth Hagin a number of times when I'd listen to him teach, and I learned this over the years. He used to say this. He said, God told me to teach by the word and by experience. Now, you don't take everything experience in life. I knew what he was talking about. The experiences he had walking in the word, what the word produced. That's what he's talking. He ain't talking about all your experiences. Because yeah, I'll guarantee you, you've had a lot of experiences we don't need to know about. You walked in things we don't want to know. We have things that have nothing to do with people. You know, I've heard people sometimes tell their experiences like it's God and it ain't got nothing to do with God. It has anything to do in line with the word of anything. We're talking about in line with the word. One of the reasons today we have so little in the entire church world, so little of anything, signs, wonders, and miracles, is because the majority of the teaching from the Bible is taught just from what the scripture says and the Bible examples. Now, I have nothing against use Bible examples, but you should have examples of your own how the word of God works today.
Amen.
If you don't, this is what happens, and this is why we don't have much today overall in the body of Christ, because most people came to the conclusion all they ever heard was the Bible examples and nothing. God never did nothing today, so people come up with the belief that was for them and back then in those days. That's what it becomes. No, it becomes real. We, you and I, should be having same things in our lives that are the examples in the scripture. We should be, if we're not, how do I identify that I'm walking in the word of God? How do you identify yourself? Now, I know that's, that seems hard for people to say. We say, oh, you know, I haven't been having, what about me? You can go over into that, oh, poor old me, or you can stop and say, man, what do I need to do to change? What do we need? Because I want to have Bible experiences in my life.
Amen.
I don't want to just have, read about somebody else's Bible. Well, you know, the thing that really turned me on when I read Kenneth Hagin, when I started, when I first got saved, and I read him, I think, oh my God, I want that stuff in my life. I want that in mine. I didn't say that. Isn't that really neat what he had? If I can't have it, burn the book. Who cares? I have no interest in other people's stories, and I can't have them. Who cares? Most people want to be entertained by stories and never learn a thing from them. See, those things and examples are given for us to copy. They're given to us to copy. I've gotten trouble. They say, well, you just copy this person. Yeah, I copy people all the time. You know, it works. I mean, isn't it stupid? I mean, you know, I like my car. I've taken it over a few times to Mike Lozer's house, and you know I take it over. Now Mike knows a lot more about cars than I do, and I'd want to work on something, and I'd go over there. Now Mike has a whole lot more experience in that area of life than Ed does, a lot more. And I found this out when I copy what Mike tells me to do about a certain thing. I get the result I want. And in the church, people are always trying to do their own thing. I threw my own thing out a long time ago. The Bible gives me example. I follow it.
Amen.
I copy.
Amen.
And if you don't copy, you know very little about faith and walking in.
Amen.
I copy the people that know. I remember I wanted to learn about photography. I got over and got into photography and got pretty good at it. Sold some pictures and stuff. I'd sell them and got, you know, pretty good at it. And I just don't have that, you know, the ministry's taking all that out of me. I ain't got time for messing around with all that anymore. It's just other things. I mean, I always enjoyed it, liked it, but, you know, I got away. But I remember when the first got started, I wanted to learn at it. And this is what a guy said. He said, just don't read everybody's book and everything, this guy said. He said, you look at pictures of the stuff that you like to, would like to take pictures, have turnout. Look at that person, and then you follow that person and how they took their pictures. He didn't say, oh, you just pick a camera and decide, go shoot a lot of pictures. You'll just wait a lot of film, get a lot of ugly stuff. And you'll run around and make everybody else look at it, and they want to puke. And you, isn't this very nice? And they want to say, dear God, keep that thing. You know, don't send me your selfie. I know what your face looks like already. I don't want to scare children with it. Anyhow. Say, well, I had a phone went out and I lost all my selfies. Praise God!
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, anyhow, so. But copy, I've learned to copy people that know how to do things and find out what they do and copy what they did. When I came into the kingdom of God, God, time and time again, I would listen to Kenneth Hagin's tape on a certain thing, and God would say, go do that. And you know, the first thing would enter my mind, I'm just doing what he did. Well, that's exactly what it was. But see, everybody they want to do their own thing. I'm only interested in what works. I don't care about my own thing. Amen. You'll stay stupid in your own thing. You know? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He would say, just find your way to follow God. Be one of those people who say, I have my way that I do it. I've run into them now and then, and they're people you don't want to follow to the grocery store. You don't want to go nowhere with that. This is my way of doing it. I'm sorry. The Bible lays out the way to do it. To me, I think it's so easy. See, I don't have to be a genius. God is already the genius and figured it out for me. All I got to do is copy it.
Amen.
You know? Easiest thing. You know, I always like the thing when you get something and you want to have something and somebody's already got it, you just print it out. Yeehaw! I don't have to do anything. Say, oh, that's the easy way. Praise God. If I can make it easy any way I can, because there's enough stuff in life, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
When being stupid and doing it all hard, acting like you're really smart and doing something. I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. It's been around for centuries. It works. over the years, I've saw this thing. They've got to reinvent wheels and how they work and what they do and everything. And we're still running on the same old wheels we had before. Hallelujah. The word hasn't changed. The same faith that the people walked in the past and say that it still works today. I don't have to reinvent.
Hallelujah.
That's the blessing. This is one thing is education today is everybody trying to develop a new way rather than really becoming proficient in things that are just, they're laws that are set and just the way they are. And people are trying to change that thing. I want you to get a hold of this because as we go in and teach, this is something you need to understand. Some of the people in their teaching in the Bible, whether Christians, whether they're people of faith or whoever they are in their teaching and their background, leave the idea that the principles of the Spirit are just for Christians. And they're not. Spiritual law is the same as physical law. Do you know, you're a Christian, physical law is not different for you, is it? You don't need gravity. When you get in an airplane, it don't need lift. No, you're a Christian. We have this idea that these things out here of spiritual law are just for the Christian. And they will work. Now what we do is we learn spiritual law and apply it to the Word of God. That works. They may not, but I want you to understand this. Spiritual law works for everybody all the time. The spirit realm has a system of operation that God established, and it will work for anybody who uses it. Anybody. This is why you see many times sinners doing better than Christians. And I watched over the years. I started seeing things these people do in their life. I thought, you know, they're following certain spiritual principles, and they're doing it, and it works for them. And the Christians over here on the sideline thinking they're doing better, and that guy's doing better than they do. Because Christians are just doing it their way. They're out here carrying things out the way they feel it should be. No, you got to come in line with spiritual law. And if you don't, you're going to end up with the outcome that you have done, not what God has done. You're going to end up with what your outcome is. Sometimes I haven't liked my outcome, and so I had to change, find out where am I, you know. There's a spiritual law I'm messing up on. There's something I'm messing up here. Some law I'm not following. Understand how important this is. See, we have physical laws. We're going to deal in the subject of faith. And one of the things, you know, you know, we have spiritual law. We have gravity and that kind of stuff. To overcome gravity, well, we build airplanes and stuff and things. And also we build rockets. Now, airplanes fly on, they put wings on them, and they fly on the things of lift. And they use lift rockets. They just use propulsion to shoot that thing, and they fire it out there, and it travels. It's really not. It's just the propulsion is so great that it pushes it through the air. But I want you to get this thing about, as we go in and look at these things, you need to understand when you're in faith and when you're not. You need to understand when you're acting in faith. See, let's say like from the standpoint, we have an airplane. Now, the airplane wants to defy gravity, so they build them with wings, and the wings they designed for them are so, you know, they're designed in such a way that the air is flowing faster underneath and over top, and it causes lift. And then they have to have some means of propulsion that takes that thing fast enough down the road, down that runway to get it off the ground. Just because you have the right kind of wing don't mean you're getting off the ground. This is where faith people mess up. They think because, you know, I believe what the Bible says, I'm getting off the ground. You know, the Lord gave me this illustration and said to use it today, and I hadn't thought about it before. But if you went out here on a runway, if I went out here and got on a commercial airliner and I got on there, you know, the runway, we thought all those markers on the runways and stuff, people think they're just out there to, you know, those little lights and stuff, they're all out there for these fun little things so they can just see where the thing's at, you know, we can tell whether it's at. It's not. When a pilot gets in a jet and he pushes those controls forward and fires his engine, goes down the runway, there's markers on those runways. If his jet, he knows from what he's flying, if he hits certain markers and his speed ain't high enough, you shut them engines down and stop this thing because you ain't getting off the ground, you're going to wreck. See, I want to tell you, this is Christians. I watch Christians. They pass the markers and wreck. They're not in faith where they should be. They don't know markers along the way. They don't recognize where they're at. And they're trying to attain a takeoff they can't do. You know, they're trying to launch a 727 when they have Piper Cub faith. And the Piper Cub will go off the runway at 70 miles an hour. But the 27 ain't, the 27 ain't lifting. It's not lifting. And we're going to find out why. You have to understand. See, I learned things that I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, I've always been really inquisitive about things and asking questions about stuff because to me, if something doesn't work, well then why doesn't it? Why is the average Christian, and I mean faith people, the average one, is faith is hit and miss? Why? Why is it? What do I know and what don't I? See, to me, that bugs me. See, I'm moving in a direction and it ain't working. I don't know about you. It bugs me. Amen. I'll wake up in the middle of the night. And I do this. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and lay in there, Lord, what do I need? This ain't working. What do I need to know? This ain't, I'm just bugged by it. See, most people, they ain't getting nowhere in their faith, and they go to sleep every night and say, I sleep good. Say, man, you must be dead or something. You just, don't it bother you that you're going through a religious routine that don't work? Don't bother you? It bothers me. I don't know. I'm like, hey, you know, this thing's supposed to work. You know, and like I'm interested in the little things. You know, everybody else, yeah, they get over and they're really worried when the big thing comes. You don't know how to operate and it don't bother you about the little things not working. Forget it. Go back to sleep with on the big thing. It ain't nothing going to happen anyhow. It's those little things is where you learn. You learn those markers. You learn those markers. That's where I learned the markers. That's what listening. Now, one of the things that I did was I listened. Because the Lord told me to stay close to Kenneth Hagin's ministry, and I would listen to his tapes. He would have certain things that he would talk about, and I'd listen to him over and over. Hundreds and hundreds of times I listened over to things. I mean, you get in my car any time, and I have stuff in there on an MP replayer. I listen all the time on there. I have Brother Hagin's stuff. I listen to things. I have stuff months on end, listen to him, same stuff over and over and over again. Over and over and over. And every time I get light comes on to me and things, I think, I see. Yeah, I see that. And also, you know, because you see, this month, most of you, and I'm just going to tell you, it's not knocking you. You think you know stuff, and you knew stuff before, but it's gotten away from you. You can't walk in it anymore. Oh, you know how to quote the scriptures, but you don't walk in it. Why? Because you got to continually go back. I find things, I think, man, you know, I haven't been walking in that. You know, I know that, but I really haven't been walking in that. I got to go back to it. Because I want to tell you this. Now, this is not, I'm not saying it's knocking anybody. You keep doing that, and after a while, you'll never walk in it again. And you'll sit one day in a service, and somebody says it, and you'll think you got a new revelation. No, it's a revelation you left years ago. Didn't walk in. didn't walk in the light of it. Now, folks, this is good teaching. I know over time, I know what you got to do. I lived in this earth a few years. I've been a Christian for a few years. I know a little bit about it. I know about missing it and hitting it, and I know all those things. And people come in the kingdom, and these things here are not taught. And I ain't knocking these ministers that hold the crusades, because they have their place in what they're called to do. But in the church, we're supposed to be hitting the details. Amen. We're supposed to be hitting the details, and we're not. We have turned, the churches have turned into revival centers. You know, Sunday mornings are no longer to teach the saints. Sunday mornings are all geared toward trying to reach somebody for Jesus. And the saints ain't getting fed. The saints are living on the same thing that God just came in the kingdom got. Yep. See, we don't know about that today. We don't, you know, it's all about, we want to bring people in the kingdom. And we've done, when they've done it, and I know churches that have done it, they've really worked to bring people in. And I'm going to tell you what, you go there and they're baby churches, the whole church. Thousands and thousands of people are babies. The pastor's a baby. Why? Because there's no teaching on a lot of areas and stuff going on, because they got their Sunday morning and their Wednesday night turned into a fellowship thing. You know, we got a home group where you sit around together and eat cookies and, you know, talk about how you like each other and pray for each other's problems. But nobody's getting fed. When I came into the kingdom, it was all about lunch. For the Christian, it was all about lunch. You got to eat. You what? All kind of things for people to go in and get fed. That's what it was. And a lot of it's turned away from those kind of things. We aren't doing those. Now, look, it's not to knock people. We need to talk about these things, because if we don't, things don't change. We have to. What are we going to have? See, number one, I believe in reaching the sinners, but my job is to the saint. My job is to build up the saint. That's my ministry. My ministry. So I can go, you know, people, well, you know, the pastor, they want him to do more of this or more of that. And the pastors follow it, so people don't get fed. You're going to have the type, see, everybody wants to have the same type of service and have the same thing all the time. You can't have that. People are called for different services, and they're called for different reasons and different purposes. People have to accept that, sit down, shut their blab mouths, and listen. Amen. Good preaching. That's what I learned how to do. I had to sit down and listen. Sit down. I've learned that over the years. I like to go. Somebody has some. God sends me. I just go sit down. Look, what do they have to say? They got some. God didn't send me here and I'm not going to get nothing. He's something He wants to say to me. Right. You came here and didn't know this morning that God wanted to talk to you. You done missed it before you ever got here. Amen. You thought this is just Sunday morning service. You're going to come and do your religious thing. You have been missing it all your life.
Amen. Preach.
See, I'm a big believer. God sends me to something. He wants to say something. And we need to get back to that. See, I remember when I come in the kingdom, my God, we wanted to hear something. Amen. Man, we'd just go and go and go to sit to hear something. That's what we wanted to do. I mean, it's hard to get people to even go to church one service a week. It's hard to get them to do it. And but you know what? They want to walk where the people walk over in 2,000 services. Ain't happening. It ain't happening. It ain't going to happen to you. You know, it's like, you know, I want to go to an online college and be a doctor. You know, get a life. Yeah. I want him to do my brain surgery tomorrow. I've got to get that guy. You know, I went to an online school of mechanics. Well, I'm looking for the guy that works on cars. Excuse me. You know, say, whoo. Isn't you couldn't learn things there, but I want you to practice something for a while before you visit me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Excuse me. But, you know, as looking at these things, and this is why it's like, I sit back and I look and I think, we're trying to have today not doing the things that people got to the places that we want to happen without doing it.
Amen. Preach.
It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're not going to develop and grow. I know, I often wonder about it if I'd sit down and think about all the hours, how many hours I spend in areas of study. You know, like, you know, they take, whether it's, you know, people in all kind of different fields, they go into refresher courses and all that stuff. I mean, I'm in a refresher course all the time. I'm in one all the time. See, you need to, you know, I don't care if the Holy Ghost is in you, renewing you day by day. You ain't living a renewed life unless you're staying in the Word and staying and walking in and keeping yourself fresh up. And you ain't going to get that from just, you know, doing a daily Bible reading.
Amen.
Preach. Amen. What do you want? See, you have to decide that. And this is one thing. How far do you want to go? That's what God dealt with me when, and concerning the areas, just in the area of finances, when I said to Him, oh Lord, how far do I take this? He said, this doesn't have anything to do with me. How far do you want to go? Huh. See, because we have all the, well, if God wanted me to do this, this would happen. You forget it. You're going to have to make some things happen. God ain't going to come and chase you. I just want to tell you that. He ain't going to chase you. You're born again. You're supposed to go on after Him.
Amen.
I'm just going to tell you this. The only people who are going to succeed are disciples.
Amen.
It's the only one. Christians ain't going to succeed. Disciples will. Disciples are the ones that will have success. Why? Because disciples go after things. They make things happen.
Amen.
I learned how to make things happen. Do you know how to make things happen?
Amen.
I know how to get God to move. I know what to do to get God to move. I know things to do. I know things that I want to do. I know exactly what to do to get God to move. I know exactly. Let's just put it like yesterday. I had my one older brother passed away this week. And, oh, it ain't all. He went to heaven. Dear God. See, now, this is not criticism. I've had people do this all the time. You say something, you know, they go, oh, and it's a thing, you know, that like, you know, this is worth it. I hate to walk up to a Christian and say this, you know, like, well, you know, there's a medical problem, you know, and like as a person I was talking to and like what Wanda had, they found a thing in her breast and they're going to remove it. And I just made casually statement about it. And the person goes, oh, and I said, it ain't all. We believe she's healed. Now this person's supposed to be a faith person, but the reaction immediately is, oh, this is bad. Is that, you know, I'm going to tell you, that's the average spirit-filled Christian. We'll do that. The first reaction is negative. And then they'll say, we're going to believe God. Not with you, I ain't. Why don't we stop and say, well, God will take, you know, he's like with my wife. My wife got the diagnosis and they said they're going to move. Then they found out what it was. There was cancer. She found out it was. And I'm going to tell you, it sort of started. The first thing that I did to her is I grabbed her and I hugged her and I said, don't you worry, honey. This is all going to turn out all right.
Amen.
She don't need a whiner. She don't need sympathy. She needs faith. And most Christians can't give it to them.
Hallelujah.
All they can give you is a whine from their voice. This is good preaching. We're supposed to be the one, when the one's in trouble, we're supposed to be the one calling them and say, hey, we're on this, don't you worry about it, we're on this together. No, it's, oh. That's exactly what you want to hear. Oh, poor old you. I believe God with you. My wife didn't need a whiner. I'm going to tell you what, you know, my heart, went, I'm going to tell you what, I wanted to whine, but I refused to. She needs help. She don't need my wine.
Hallelujah.
She needs me to stand up.
Amen.
Free. See, we need to get over this. You know, that's why I hate to tell Christians things. People say, you know, they want to know your, you know, what you need prayed for. I hate to tell people. I hate the reaction because if it isn't any more than a splinter, they'll fall apart. I wonder if God can really do it or not. They're not sure. It's pretty big, you know. It was a hangnail. I don't know. We can get that. folks, this stuff, I'm not trying to criticize. We need to think. See, this is all about our faith.
Amen.
This is why people's faith don't work. Amen. Because the guy who instead of steps up to that person, hey, look, I'm with you on this thing. Don't you worry. She'd be afraid. Tell them what God said. That's what that person needs.
Amen.
Person who faced the challenge. They need somebody. You know, Jesus answered, oh, yeah, I did, kid, y'all just, you know. Jesus ain't doing that.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know? You know, Jesus was taking my wife in his arms.
Amen.
He's saying, don't you worry, honey. And everything turned out fine.
Amen.
Everything turned out great. Hallelujah. And see, this is what we need. And we need to come to that place. We have certain things that are said and done. We so follow the world and talk about faith. But we're following the world. And I want you to know this. You ain't going to get any more than what you can believe God for. You won't get any more.
Amen.
You're not going to do it. The principles of faith stand. You'll either use them for you or against you. One way or the other. You need to understand this. You can use things. You know, it's like today. You know, people turn around and they say, you know, somebody shot somebody with a gun. We need to get rid of the guns. No, they're not dealing with it. You know, what a person does with it determines what happens. And see, your faith's the same way. Many Christians have shot themselves so many times. They keep trying to take off the runway and keep crashing and keep crashing. They never stop to find out, hey, I more markers. I'm just going down. I'll tell you, we're taking off. Yep. I'm believing God. And everything along the way says shows they're not.
Amen.
Saying I am don't mean you're in faith. There's markers. You can find out. We'll talk about these things. Now, if this is scaring you, I don't know. Maybe you won't make it next Sunday. Because you think. Which I'm going to be preaching. Because there's things that need to be said.
Amen.
Because, you know, I want to know that we can't give this weak Christianity to the world.
Hallelujah. No way.
Man, they need to see this. It's like when I came in, there was a strong Christianity preached. And man, I saw these. I want to have what these people got.
Amen.
I want what they got. I ain't just trying to get out of hell. I want to live life without hell.
Preach. Amen.
And I listened to people and I thought, my God, they go through things and come out in victory. I didn't know nothing about it. I wasn't ever raised in a Christianity like that. And I thought, man, they talk about this stuff. And I said, I want that. That's Christianity I want.
Amen.
I want that thing where Jesus shows up.
I
want that thing where Jesus ain't a song you sing. He's alive. You know it. Hallelujah. You and him hang out together. That's what I want. And I saw people who had that. And I said, I want what they did. And you know what I found out how to do? I had to copy them. How to copy what they were doing. Wow. I found out what they were doing and the outcome they were having. I didn't listen. Other people talked about this stuff. I didn't pay no attention to it. That guy got it working. You only got talk. He got it working. That's who I'm going after.
Amen.
I'm not interested in a guy that can talk the nice and have the nicest sounding message. I want the guy who knows how to make it work. That's the dude. You know, if I'm going to go to a doctor, I don't care if he has the lousiest bedside manner in the world. If he can help me, I want him. The guy who's sweet, I might just punch him in the mouth till we're done because he's taking my money and ain't doing nothing.
Amen.
Everybody today wants the sweet. I ain't interested in the sweet. I'm interested in what gets the job done. That's what I want. I want to find out what I need. If I have to put up with something, well then Ed, put up with it. Shut up. Let's follow the word and do it. Hallelujah. And get the victory.
Amen.
That's what we want to do. Hallelujah. I want the answer.
Amen.
Not the comfort. You know, you might have comfort too, but never get the answer. Who cares?
Hallelujah.
Because if you don't ever get the answer, you'll live in misery.
Amen.
You'll live in your discomfort. It will come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, have I meddled enough yet? No. But see, these are things that over the time, see, God has dealt with me on and that kind of stuff. I'm not preaching you things that I don't have to deal with.
Amen.
I got to deal with me in these things all the time. See, and if you don't stay close to the Word and walk with Jesus, you don't judge yourself.
Preach.
You don't judge yourself. This is why I think a lot of Christians don't pray or get in the Word, because if they do, it makes them uncomfortable. Because it'll judge you. The Word will say stuff and I'll think, oh my God. But let's go and read the Psalms. What are they? Let's go to the 23rd Psalm. That James book? Oh my. Woo-hoo! Where's my promise book at? I want that promise. I've got more victory on the hard stuff. The hard stuff, the hard sayings sometimes. And I look at them and think, yeah, ooh, it skins me a little bit. But I think, I want that. The victory to me is more important. I got to get that. I'm going to have to deal with this. I'm going to have to deal with me in this. I'm going to have to deal with that. I got to look at these things, you know, and things that people are not doing. So I got over the thing and here with this, and the Lord told me, so you got to talk about these things. You need to talk about the stuff dealing in the areas, the practical areas, because what are we going to convey to others? See, we can say we want to reach the world, but what do you want to reach them with? Do you want to reach them with a talk gospel? Talk about miracles you never have? Talk about things you want to have? Can you give them, this is what God will do for you? See, I can tell people, this is what God will do for you.
Amen.
I know.
Hallelujah.
I got experience in it. It works.
Amen.
You see, I don't have to tell you what David did. I can tell you what Ed did. I can tell you about the victories Ed had doing the same thing, following the principles that David followed, the same spiritual principle. And I followed them and they worked too.
Hallelujah.
They didn't just work for David. They're for today.
Amen.
They're for us today. They'll perform and do the same things today. Hallelujah. We look and marvel. We marvel at things because the scriptures are only words in a book. So we marvel at it. You know what? I don't mind. I read the book anymore. It don't, I don't think, well, isn't this some incredible thing? No, this is the way the Word of God works.
Amen.
This is what it is. This is what it produces. This is what it does when man walks in faith. When man follows the Word works.
Amen.
He follows it. Decide you're going to follow the principles of the Word. So in other words, I have to understand how the laws of the Spirit, the Bible teaches us. How does faith work? What does it do? The Bible is clear on the subject on the areas concerning faith. And I want to talk because we want to cross over into things because it's not, we're going to talk some of the areas of healing, but it also fits into other areas and that kind of stuff. You got to follow them. Somehow there has become a disassociation between a so-called faith life and you're living in your regular life. You need to understand, if you can't apply your faith into your regular life, your faith's not worth much. If you don't know how to take the principles of the Spirit and apply them to your natural life, because that's how the miracles come. People do things in spiritual law that does not make sense over here in the natural law, but you do it and it changes things in the natural. That's how it works. It'll change things there. Excuse me. One of the things I want to say to you today is this. In the areas concerning healing, because as we go along, we're going to talk about this, but I want to lay this foundation. I've talked about this before, but I'm going to talk about it again because it's hugely important. It was a revelation that Kenneth Hagin got, and I have proved it out over the years that it works. And I can tell you why some of you have gotten healed and you haven't gotten healed, and why you haven't. Because you're not following spiritual law. You don't follow spirit. You throw everything in the Bible into a bag and shake it up and dump it out and think it all. No, there's specific laws, just like gravity has certain things about the laws of it, how it operates. And that's the way it is. And it's just like we find other laws that govern. You take over things dealing with light and stuff. All these things, there's reasons why it does it, and you follow certain principles and laws. Scientists go out and study and they'll say, well, people sort of did a miraculous thing. Well, they didn't. They just found out different things about certain laws and rules and certain things that they can do. One thing over here changes a thing over there and they find out things that, but they're always operate within these laws. There's these laws. That doesn't change. Those laws are the same. God's laws never change and they will never change for you. I don't care how much of a need you have. They don't change. Spiritual. God changes not. He changes not. Well, if he don't change, his laws don't change. Because if they do, then the Bible's changed. Then you're going to have to do the Bible's not for today. No, the Bible's for today. Why? Because the reason the Bible is for today or any time, because the laws that govern it has never changed and never will. These laws, when you go in, when you die, and go to heaven, the laws of the Spirit don't change at all. They've been exactly the same. It's not going to be different laws in heaven than they're here on earth. It's not different laws. The same laws that operate the Spirit are identical. When we get the new heaven and the new earth, it's going for eternity, these laws stand because this is God's laws. He never changes. See, to me, this is the wonderful thing about it. I don't have to come up with new ideas on this thing. A guy like Ed can learn. If I follow the principles of the laws established by God, I follow them, I will have the outcome. I can know this. after I'm in, you know, with Jesus 5 billion years, it ain't going to ever change. The laws are going to be the same. What I've learned here is still going to be working there.
Amen.
Don't change.
Hallelujah.
Don't change. You talk about security, not security. But see, everybody, this idea today, people want to do their own thing. And Christianity is filled with it. Well, this is just the way I think it is. I've had people do it to me. Well, I believe it's like this. And I'd say, well, then why are you coming here visiting me trying to get help from me? And you know how it works. If you know how it works, adios amigos, let me alone. Mm-hmm. Go do your thing and see how's it been working. Well, it ain't been working. I thought this is your way, like it's some kind of... No, God has established a way. God has. God is. See, we got this me's junk, this me. Me and Jesus. I'm sorry, Jesus has been around a lot longer than you have. I have no better relationship with Jesus than I follow the principles of the laws that set up of the Spirit. My fellowship with Him is based on those. My fellowship is based... I don't follow those laws. I'm going to limit my fellowship with Him. I limit. How does the realm operate? How do you do? You know, do you ever find out a relationship with a person? Just like, you know, when you get people go together. And when you get married, isn't it a whole different ball game? You know, they was cute, but you didn't know all that stuff about them. You found out, now you got to put up with all of it. And they got to put up with all of you. Well, that changes things. In other words, you got to find out how things work and how things, because you got a relationship here. How do I make this relationship work? See, I found this out. I had to give up me.
Amen.
This is why marriages don't work. Today, they don't work because people never give up themselves. It's always about me. I found out it wasn't no more me, it was us.
Amen.
And all you had to do was ask her. But she was right. It's about us. And I found out this thing. You know what? I found out the great joy of life when I got saved. I gave up Ed was the best thing I ever did.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When I gave up Ed, I thought, my God. I've been keeping me and making my life miserable. Hallelujah. And I found out. So I have another person here. I put them before me and I thought, my words, it makes a great life. It makes a good life. Put the other person before yourself. I thought, all this time, because society teaches, oh, you got to take care of yourself. You got to look after yourself. You got to watch yourself. You know, it's all this self-junk. And when I found out, that was causing me all my problems. Loads of problems. And when I gave that up and I started to love somebody more than myself, my God, it made a good life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My wife didn't want to choke me anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I always say this about my wife Wanda. I always say that she, as a sinner, she was better than most Christian women. Because I said, when I was as ugly as I was, she stayed with me. I said, dear God, a sinner stayed with me. Saints get a little bit of trouble in their marriage and they won't leave. That's good preaching. And I said, that woman, she stayed with me. I, when I got saved, I thought, my God. When I started finding out about things, I thought, my God, she was more of a saint than a lot of Christians. And she wasn't even saved. She stayed with me. I said, I had never stayed with me. Dear God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I decided she's a keeper. That's it. Hallelujah. Now, she ain't perfect, and I ain't perfect, but I ain't looking for perfect. Hallelujah.
Preach.
I'll tell you what, it just works. Hallelujah. We have learned over time, we put up with each other's idiosyncrasies, and you all got them.
Amen.
You know, you got things that you're just a pain about.
Amen.
And the other person has to put up with it. So get over it, it is. Amen. Don't you think you're so nice? It is. It's your pain, and you got to put up with their pains. And this is what you do. This is what it is. And I just learned, you know what you count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. I found this out. Ed, tell your flesh to shut up and sit down.
Amen.
But bigger than that, you know, because lots of times a person will have 100 things that are really good about them, but they have 2 things that annoy you and you want to get rid of them. So you can get another person that has 4,000 things that annoy you.
Amen.
I was always big on this. If you don't like it in the situation you're in, don't go to something else because you'll be there. If you don't change, I'm serious. If you don't change, you're going to take the annoyance with you because you're there. So you got to deal. You got to deal yourself in the trouble spot, so you can really even live good in the good spot.
I
found it out. That's. See, and I've always given for, you know, all of us have things that annoy the other. But I tell you, Wanda has so many good qualities. I don't, you know, the rest, it doesn't, don't even matter. Don't even care anymore.
Amen. Preach.
Hallelujah. And she put up with me when I had a lot of annoying things, I'll tell you. So, hallelujah. But you learn to live with it, you know, and learn to walk in it. Glory to God. This good, folks, this all has to do with faith. Your faith ain't working. You can't deal with this stuff here that I'm talking about. This faith life is no more than a thing, a charm looking to the future to something you ain't ever going to have. Things you got to deal with. First thing is God dealt with me more. You know, I'm over here, Kenneth Hagin's teaching faith, and God's talking to me about getting my life straight. And I realize why he did it. I'd have never walked in faith. I'd have been trying to believe God for things, and I'm doing all kind of stuff walking in the flesh that is destroying everything I want to get to in faith. I'm running down the runway trying to take off, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm hitting the fence at the end of the runway. I'm going through it. And I realized what he was doing was showing me what I had to change about me.
Amen.
And so you go, we all go through. Nobody is exempt from that. We got to find out about ourselves. Hallelujah. And so we have to walk right, do what's right. Now let me just say, this is a wonderful revelation. Kenneth Hagin got this in the areas of healing because of dealing with people. We have people standing in faith. Now, I'm one thing, I'm 1,000% convinced God wants everybody well.
Amen.
I know God heals. Now, it is not enough for you to know that God heals. Now, people think it's a big deal that they believe God heals. That doesn't really mean a thing. Well, only thing that it means to you, does he want to heal you? So you believe God heals and never get... I have never met a minister yet that didn't believe God could heal. But most of them can't get healed. Why? Because they don't believe God wants to heal them specifically. You got to believe that God wants you well specifically. You got to believe that. You can't have it some other way. You got to know that this is a personal thing from the standpoint he wants you well. See, I came to that place of understanding in scriptures enough that if I'm going along and I ain't improving or getting better, hold it. It can't be God. He wants me well. I never think about God don't want me well.
Amen.
God's trying to make me sick to teach me something. I never think anything so stupid. I will not entertain it. If there's a problem, it's on my side because he has stated by fact what he wants. So how or what way in concerning the laws of faith, am I not hooking up here on this? What is it that I'm missing?
Amen.
Because there's certain things in teaching, certain things that I've learned over time. I don't know if we'll eventually go to it or not. I might teach really the subject. Kenneth Hagin, I don't know how many of you ever had his book, Write Your Own Ticket with God. It's one of his little books. Well, you get one of those little books, you ought to buy one. You know, I say to you people, buy certain things. I know you don't, but you're missing out. And you're going to miss out, and you're going to miss some major things. Go get the book. And go online, you can order them and do stuff. And I'm going to tell you a wonderful revelation. Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin, if anybody follows the principles of that book, they follow that. He said they'll get their prayer answered every time. So if we know we're not, see... People don't like to go there. People want to keep walking in the same old way they have been walking, hit and miss, and pretend like they're doing something really spiritual. You know, you ought to be able to do better at it today than you did 10 years ago. You ought to be better at it today than you were 5 years ago.
Amen.
If you're not, you didn't grow at all. You didn't grow in faith at all in that area. This is just the way it is. If somebody went to college, say to major in math, and got out and were no smarter in math than they were in high school, well, wouldn't you think something's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Not in Christianity. Christians live for years and years and never get any smarter. Things never work any better. See, I think, you know, I ought to be able to stand a little bit better today than I did, you know, a few years ago. I ought to be able to get a hold of something better today and I have a better grasp on it today.
Amen.
wouldn't you think so?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's just, to me, that's just sense. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to get some guru to try to tell me this. It's like, just makes sense. I should be able to take my faith further. I should be able to reach out further.
Amen.
And I found this. The more I push toward God, the more He moves to try to move me further, to show me stuff out here to reach further.
Amen.
If you're not getting things to reach further, you're not listening. Your fellowship with God is very meager. It's not, because I find the closer I walk with Him, He wants to take me out further.
Amen. Preach.
How could we take a God who knows everything, who we know this much, and we're going to have a relationship with Him that's going to amount to anything, or have fellowship with Him that'll amount to anything, just staying in this weenie place? You can fellowship with nobody, no natural human being, any more than you know them. You can't fellowship no more than you know them or know about them.
Amen.
You can only fellowship as far as you know them. That's it. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's why, you know, it's like we take a marriage. You should be developed. You really get to know each other. You know, like Juan and I know all kind of intimate things about each other and stuff and things. And we know things about each other's past that we'd never tell anybody else about. And we know that there's this thing. But this intimacy we have amongst each other, all this. And, you know, the more that we've known each other. See, we know each other now over the years of how, you know, about ourselves and stuff like that. We can cooperate with each other on things. It's just naturally so. I find people who have a hard time in marriages because they don't know each other. They never learn. They spent their whole life. It's all about me and I knowing me and what I want. And I have my career and they have their career and we're doing our things. Oh, does this run across grain of God bless America? We sacrifice for stuff and things. Relationships and marriages and children.
Amen.
We sacrifice it all to have what we call success. And the greatest success that I have had in my Christian walk is my family. It's the greatest success I got.
Amen.
That's my success. I love my wife like Christ loves the church.
Hallelujah.
And I don't have to die for her, I live for her.
Amen.
If you don't live for them, forget it, you ain't doing it. My children, we raised them up to know God.
Amen.
And they walked after God. There's nothing greater. What good does it do to gain the whole world and even lose your family? Or your family? What do you got? What you got? Nothing. What good does it mount up? And I can't make a marriage work, but I'm going to make all this other stuff. No. See, this is about the things. If we don't talk about things, things don't change among people out here. See, people come into a Christianity that is just another thing personal to do something for my life about me and ignore everybody else. That's what it becomes. It's not that. What is success in life? Gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Lose your own mind. Well, we got some mindless people out here today in Christianity.
Amen. Right.
Mindless people. What good is it gain? What is it good to have all? It's not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We miss the treasures of really of life, of the treasures you could have. See, there's one thing. And let me say, I don't have any notion. I knew when I got over teaching this because the Lord told me, you go out and talk, we'll get all this straightened out. But see, there's in the areas concerning family, see, I've always considered my home is my castle. And I always said to people, it doesn't matter what goes on in the outside. When I go home, they like me. I know a place that I can go to that they still like me. Do you have that? Do they even care that if you come home? What is it or what is it you want? But you know, it's one thing. See, I feel so sorry because many people don't have that. They go in the world and they go home and have as much contention at home as they have out in the world. You don't ever get away from it. Your house, thank God for people in the church, but you know, you can't meet all the time in church. My family is the place. That's my castle. I go home there. They like me there. They know sometimes Ed's a dummy, but they love me there. And I know I can go there and they want me there. Do you have that? If you don't have that, you got a problem. You got a problem. There's people I know, they don't like going home, you know. They don't stay away from home. They don't like being there, you know. It's like, oh, it's just another drudge. Nothing much more horrible thing. I always feel bad for people. You know, some people trying to do the right thing and they got a mate who won't do the right thing and ain't nothing. They make, you know, you live out in this world, you put up with the junk out there and then you go home, you got to put up with the junk. I always felt so bad about that. It's the fact is, my home was always my castle, and no matter what went on, I'd go home and my wife still loved me. I don't care if I messed up, she still loved me. And she loved me. And she, you know, we'll get it straightened out, we'll get it fixed. You didn't go home and they slapped you and say, yeah, you knucklehead. What? Hallelujah. They like you there. See, you need to. This is what Christianity is. This is the faith life. Not this American life. American life stinks. The faith life is what made America great. Not this junk we got today. Not these things. It's this faith life. How does faith work together? How does it go? I'll tell you, my biggest, like for example, my biggest supporter concerning things in our life is my wife. My wife is very submissive to the things. I walk with God. You know, she's one of my cheerleaders. She ain't somebody's on my back, you know. She ain't there to tell me everything all the time and try to, she never gets in my drawers and gets my pants and puts them on. Can't say that for a lot. You know, they always got to tell him what he has to do all the time. I'm going to tell you, cheer him on. Because you don't, you're going to stand in judgment for it. Woo, good preaching here. Woo, 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 woo. See, I credit a lot to Wanda. I mean, I really do. I'm so blessed to have a good wife. In ministry, I watch this in ministry. Men and wives go in, you know, and they're in contention in ministry on whose gift and what gift. I see this stuff and stuff goes on, goes around it, you know. Well, you know, well, we're both pastors in a church. I'm sorry about this one thing. Anything with more than one head's a freak. God didn't put two people as head pastors in a church. It had never happened. Brother Hagin tried to deal with that. Makes people, made people nervous. They don't like to hear that because, see, we're in America, you know. We have our ideas about things. I had to deal with church years ago that started off really great and went under. And I told them it would go under. They didn't believe me on it and stuff. Started out really looking good, but fell apart. They got this this, you know, sort of a pastoral thing by a council, and they had like four ministers that were all the pastor that made the decisions. And I just wanted to tell them, I said, it ain't going to work. I said, number one, it isn't biblical, because I said, you can't, you got four people with four different visions going to carry them out. I said, I just want to tell you this, you ain't going to get along with each other. Because you tell them what they have is important, and you're saying what you have important, and they're contrary one to another. Ain't going to work. Ain't going to happen. And it all fell apart. Huge amounts of money. People donated huge amounts of money. All of it went to waste and out. So many Christians have put so much money into things that hasn't amount to a hill of beans. They had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Ended up just blown out and blown away, gone. Followed man's ideas. Oh, you Presbyterians sure get quiet when we talk about these things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I always thank God I got a good wife. I do. Amen. Wanda's been, you know, she's always encouraged me. I'll tell you what, there's many a times I wanted to quit the ministry. There's many a times I wanted to do it. She'd, we're going to, just, you're going to go. You're all right. Don't worry about it. You're going to go on. You have somebody that's on your side, you know. I've always said she's going to really be blessed when she, blessed concerning heaven because of what she's done. She's never tried. She's always promoted the ministry. Never her own life and her own things. She never did. I'd do anything for her, you know. She's been, people say, that she's, you know, expensive. She does this and that. And that's right, because I give her money. Because, man, I'd give all my money just to put up with the hell of most marriages. Woo! Good preaching, good preaching. the good. Hallelujah. Say, I'm just glad to do it. I'll tell you what, she's blessed my life and she's helped me go along to fulfill the will of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She's let me hear from God. She's allowed me to do that. I appreciate it. I mean, I'm indebted to that. Hallelujah. And I thank God. I think there's great reward her concerning that. Because I see the contention that goes on in that stuff and things. And I just say, man, love your wife like Christ loves the church.
Amen.
You do that. Hallelujah. You know, whole idea is, you know, we get this kind of thing, and I found out, you know, it's just, if you're going to have a good life, live together good, you're going to have to make this thing work, and the only thing that I know that makes it work is following the plan of God. I don't know another way. I don't know another way it works.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It just works. Now this revelation, and I just want to share this with you, but Kenneth Hagin had concerning healing. In one of the instances, Jesus talked to Kenneth Hagin and told him a thing. And he said this to him. He said, divine healing is being healed by the power of God without any kind of medical assistance. And I want us to stop at that because, see, we need to understand, we talk about divine healing. People throw everything into the areas of divine healing that God does in that area. It is not. Divine healing is specifically this. Divinely healed, a person is healed without any kind of physical, help at all, anything like that. It is completely the person trusts God and God does it. That's divine healing. We need to get that because here's one thing I want you to grasp this is because many people are not walking toward divine healing. They're on the runway saying they're flying to divine healing, but that isn't, you check the markers, that ain't what they're doing. They're heading another direction. See, you're wasting your time. Now, I proved this out over the years because we don't want to stop there. But the Lord told him this and said this. He said to him about this. He said, and Jesus went and told him this. He said, if a person went to the doctor or goes to the doctor, he said, I want to help them. I want to help them. He said, this is what you do. You pray for them for a quick recovery. Need that specifically. See, people don't, what people want to go to the doctor and have divine healing. It don't run in that way. It doesn't run that way. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have miraculous things. It's amazing sometimes the things God done. It's one of the things I'm going to, talk a bit concerning Wanda. There's one thing. This understanding the areas of going to the doctor and get healed, Wanda is an absolute expert at this. I have never seen Wanda not get a quick recovery. Never. One time. She will always get well way faster than everybody else. Because she learned this. We deal with this. Because we found out together. If we're going to hit in a direction, that's where we put our faith. I don't say, God, give me divine healing, but I'm going this way. Now, I proved this out many years ago in the church. When I first started off, I did some teaching on this here and folks have found a church. Because I found out we weren't having success with people getting healed. Because people come and want hands laid on them for prayer. They're asking for divine healing, but they're going to the doctor tomorrow. And they've been running their schedule and they're going to continue it. Well, I did this. I did some teaching. I said, how you like a quick recovery? Turn around. I found out people that were going, they got good quick recoveries. People, but all this time before it wasn't working. Nothing much was happening. Why? Because they're following us, they're this spiritual principle they want, but they're going this way to get it. See, you have to know what your faith can do and can't do. You know, if you believe those knuckleheads that say, well, all as you need is mustard seed faith, just a little bit. Well, how's it work for you? What have you got out of it? Your mustard seed faith. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I told the Lord some things I didn't want to say. But the Lord told me, he said, you need to say them because of this fact. People think you bragging. I want you to understand this. I never got healed one time other than through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I guess.
Thank you, Lord.
He's a healer.
Hallelujah.
All I did was listen to him of how you follow these principles.
Amen.
Now, when I got born again, these principles can't be hard because I picked them up. Listen to Kenneth Hagin's teaching. See, if you don't have any stuff of his stuff, you better get it. You don't know nothing. You'll learn some things. How to stay. See, I got born again in 1980, and from the day I got born again, I never missed one day of work sick after that. Never one day. I started listening to his stuff, and I know how to do this. I listened to it and listened to it over and over again. I listened to his tapes. I'd read his book. I just keep going over and over and over this stuff. It can't be hard. It can't be you have to become a spiritual giant, because Ed sure wasn't no spiritual giant. But I kept listening to this on what to do. What do I do? Not how much knowledge I can gain. And I go, boy, these people out in the world today, the stuff they're doing out there is terrible. Why? Because the church is doing terrible. Complaining about them. They're sinners. What do you expect out of them? To complain about them shows your immaturity. Oh, glory to God. How come you ain't dancing, folks? We want the sinners to act like saints, and we don't. Oh, my. I'll duck later here. I'll just... They're sinners. And there's a lot, I feel bad for them because a lot of saints don't know nothing. They don't know anything. And we can't blame them. They don't know nothing. Nobody's ever told them the truth. They don't know stuff. They don't know. And just complaining about them don't change a thing. I want to know what to do to tell people to do stuff.
Amen.
But, so, you know, I went through the things of, I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. I stayed there. And then when I went to Rhema, I was working in jobs. And I stayed through the whole thing. When I came back, we moved back here to the area. I had jobs working. Never missed one time. In fact, I can go and say, I have never missed one ministry meeting, not one time for ever being sick. All these years. I got some years on this, folks. Well, it can't be because Ed's a rocket scientist. This is not about, this is the principles of God working. Anybody can do it.
Amen. Preach.
But you got to decide you're going to find out how it works. Now, I have been attacked many times. But I learned this. There's things that you can learn to get off the runway. And in a short period of time, or you can keep going down and crashing, coming back, getting in another plane and running it down and crashing on the same thing over and over again and never getting it. Or you have a 475,000 mile runway that you're running on and you just keep going and 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 going, but you never take off.
Amen.
Now you need to understand this. I learned this early. What I can develop my faith to, and where the principle, then I can expect a certain amount of result to where my faith level is. But I can't expect a certain amount of result at a level my faith is not.
Amen.
You know, I started off with Piper Cub faith. I didn't get in the 747. I didn't get it. This is people sit around and mess with their faith. They can't. They don't even have the tractor that can pull the plane into something. They even got that faith. And all of a sudden, something happens in their life. They expect to just jump in the 727 to go fly down the runway and take it off. Their faith can't do it.
Amen.
Their faith can't do it. You can't do that. I learned that over time. You know, it just, there's things that you have to come along thing. One of the things that you're going to have to learn to deal with in this area, we'll talk about some of these things some more, but one thing, you're going to have to learn to deal with your fears.
Amen. Preach.
Your fears. This is one thing is that Wanda, like I said, she understands things. There's things about faith that Wanda got a hold of. I mean, she just got it. I mean, she just, you know, Wanda worked in a school. And you go ask people, you work in school around kids. Everybody gets sick. Kids are always bringing stuff in, people getting sick. And they're doing those. You're working with the kids, you're getting sick. Wanda worked around the kids and never got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you say to her about it, you're strange, you know, because Wanda didn't take the flu shots. And all the teachers took the flu shots and got the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not talking about COVID. This is all the years that she was in doing this thing. And they would come to her. How come you never get sick? She'd tell them. Do you think any of those idiots would follow it? Even the Christians wouldn't. You know, they ask you, how you do it? You tell them, I'm sorry, we don't believe like that. So I'm going to go get sick. Excuse me. I've had people, I've had numbers of Christians come to me. I don't believe like you do. I believe God does it this way. I get results and you never get any. Oh, that was a real genius. See, I saw Kenneth Hagin had results, which up at that time, I never knew anybody ever had results like he talked about. I never knew. This was a startling thing to me. But somehow I knew what he was teaching was true.
Amen.
And I thought, if this thing is true, because I'm just going to be honest with you. Some of you here, you don't hate sickness enough. You don't mind feeling a little bit. You got used to it, feeling bad. You don't hate it enough. See, I don't like sickness. I'll tell you what. I don't like my toe bothering me. I mean, I don't like none of it. I just don't like it. I never have liked it. To me, anything like that is annoying. It diminishes part of my life, part of my joy and happiness. It diminishes. I don't want to do that. And I got the point. I hate sickness. See, we get over dealing with that. Dealing with the areas of fear. See, people have fears about sicknesses. You have fears. You see, most people say, well, you don't want to get around anybody sick. Wanda would go to school and she'd come home and tell me, she said, oh man, we had kids puking all over the place today and this and that, and the teachers are throwing up, going home. She said, my God, all kinds of people going home. She said, we comes in some days, a quarter of the school's off. Wanda never fretted a bit. She went to school. You know, it's all right. It don't matter. She didn't care. It's all right. Heck, there's loads of the Spirit-filled Christians would have never went to school. They're sick. I might get some when I go down there, but I'm trusting the Lord. See, I found this out, you know. When I'd travel, you know, lay on the six and they would cover. What are you going to do, put gloves on and a mask? If you're afraid of their disease, keep your hands off of them. Don't tell them lies about how you believe God's big and then you show him he's not.
Amen.
I've went to places and laid hands on things, and you know, but I'm going to tell you what. I know this. My God wants them well.
Amen.
If he ain't big enough to take care of me, then it's me. I'm lying to them, trying to act like he wants to do something to them. We got this little clean America junk. You know. My God, get this stuff up with your hands. I might catch something, you never know. That person touched me. We're living in this world. Folks, these things affect our faith. You can't have fears about things. And you be a person, it's not going to work. See, we're going down the runway, and that marker's there, and everybody ignores it. They ignore the marker. They ignore him. They think, I can go over here and talk my fears and my worries about this stuff, but now I can get over here and it's all going to work. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not going to do that. See, I realized one thing. When I first got saved, I lost the fear of dying. I'm not afraid to
Amen.
Die. I ain't afraid to die. I get to go to heaven.
Amen.
Glory to God. See, I know people just generally don't put it. See, I had an opportunity. The Lord talked about heaven yesterday. Let me just tell a little walk by faith. You know, they decided they were going to have this little celebration thing. It's one thing we have among the Gibsons. The Gibsons were always ice cream eaters. We always liked ice cream. And my brother passed away, and one of his great loves was ice cream. So they were going to have a fellowship yesterday to get together, have ice cream in his honor. And they're going to get together and have a fellowship thing. And so they were going to do that. Well, at 10 o'clock in the morning, my brother who passed, his wife, my sister-in-law called, and she said, I know this is a late thing, but she said, I just really like, she said, I would like you to come. She said, I'd like you to share some things with the family and pray for us. She said, I'd really like you to do that. Now, she's not a religious person, like from the standpoint, she has some weird beliefs and that stuff. But I found this a long time ago. A lot of sinners know more about who knows God than a lot of Christians do. Now, see, some people say, oh man, the last minute they turn you at 10 o'clock, you're going to be there at 1 o'clock. 10 o'clock, you get the call, you got to do it. Well, see, here's faith walk. The Bible said I'm supposed to be ready in season, out of season.
Amen.
I can't fret about this thing.
Amen.
Oh, well, they said, well, I can't now because, you know, I just don't have time and I don't know whatever. And you know what? I didn't know have it all. And I just said to her, yeah, I said, I'll do that. You ask for help, Hallelujah. If God can't give Ed something, he ain't who he said he was. If I have to have, you know, a whole day or 6 days to prepare, forget it. Stay home. Go hide in a cupboard somewhere. Quit faking this Christian stuff. Say, no, I knew this. I knew. God will give me what they need to hear. God has something for them. She called, she saw that she needs something. We have an opportunity to bless them in this thing. I say, how are you going to bless them? I don't know. But God will give us something. And you know what? God gave me something. And I'll tell you, it worked out just fine. It worked out wonderful, in fact. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It absolutely worked out wonderful. You know what? It blessed the sinners there, and the saints that were there, it skinned them a little. Because some of them got nervous. Most of the sinners didn't get, but some people say they're Christians, you can tell it bugged them. God had me talk about heaven, and they ain't ready. And they bared witness with it, and you could see the nervousness in them. And my God, these sinners, heaven's real? Hallelujah. They were glad to hear. I got more compliments from sinners than saints. The reality. Oh, wow. See, you get convinced. See, if you're a person and you're not sure, you're scared to die, you won't talk like heaven like it's real. Amen. You'll copy what somebody else said, or just, you know, so here's a quote from the Bible. Say, no, man, I'm going there.
Amen.
I told him, I said, you know, because I'm a rush. So my brother left, and I said, you know, he went off to heaven. He went to heaven. His wife's not ready to go to heaven. She ain't there. He went to heaven. And so he's going to heaven. And I just told him straight out. I said, my words, he got to leave here and he don't have to put up with all of those idiots now. Glory to God. He's in heaven. I said, I've been looking at this a lot. Man, what wonderful thing to go to heaven. You don't put up all this nonsense in this earth anymore. I said, man, who's the winners and losers in this thing? I mean, he's the winner. Definitely, he's the winner. He left. He ain't putting up with this knucklehead stuff we're putting up in this earth. Because there was a bunch of people. See, I walked in, and one of the things I said to him in opening, and I talked to him. I said, I walked in this place. Now, he's 84 years old. And I said, you know, I walked in here because, see, then most of all your friends and stuff are older, and even your kids are older. I said, I walked in here and said, my God, we're all old people. And I told him, I said, I walked in and said, all old people. I said, you know, he left, and I said, we're not far behind. I said, if Jesus don't come, we ain't far behind. I said, it's about getting ready to go.
Amen.
You know what? If I I live another 10, I still ain't far behind. If I live another 20, I ain't far behind.
Amen.
I learned this a long time. His life's a vapor of smoke.
Amen.
I'll tell you, get your life straight now.
Amen.
And not wait till you're older, because life will not get any better. It'll get worse.
Preach.
And you might go to the point you can't turn some things around.
Right.
I think God stepped into my life early enough to change a lot of things around. I'm glad, you know, I had one child that was born, but she's just little. And I got born again in January. My other daughter was born in March of that year. And that's like, we got to get things straightened out along. I tell you, don't mess around. Don't wait years.
Amen.
It don't get easy.
Amen.
It just don't do it. Just in closing here, we're going to talk, we'll go on with this next, because I don't know how long this stuff's going to go. There's many things the Lord wants me to say about some of these things because of the hindrance of people. But I want you to understand, no matter what it is, God wants to help you. And he, like he said, if you go to a doctor, he said, you let him know, I want to help him. I want to help him. But he wants to tell you specifically. I'm going to go on and talk about Wanda, because Wanda is a champion at this thing. She learned how to do this thing. She learned how this thing of going to the doctor and how to get a quick recovery.
Amen.
She can just do it. Never one time has she ever gone. I'm especially three times dealing with surgery-wise that Wanda was in. And all three surgeons were astounded at her and her recovery. All three of them admitted it. All three of them admitted it of her recovery. Why? That's what we are believing. See, you understand this. Get a hold of this. When, I don't know how many of you remember When Wanda was going to have an operation, was going to be on a Monday. We never told anybody in the church what was going on. We never told anybody. And the reason we didn't is because I have learned over the years that if you start telling people, they start, and then they go run their mouth to other people, that they shouldn't be saying anything to. What did you hear? You know, the pastor's wife said, this happened, and this is that. And they're over there talking to everybody, running about. Hey, if you ain't got something on the areas of faith to say about it, keep your blab mouth shut. You don't realize. So that's why I've learned over time, you don't say things lots of time to people because they run off and say all kinds of things. They want to go run and tell everybody, hey, I hear the pastor's wife is out there. That's all in unbelief. They ain't believing the healing. They just want to tell some bad news to somebody. They just want to spread some gossip. So I didn't say anything. And remember, yeah, I don't know if you folks remember, but I came in and I said, first of all, I don't want you praying for her. Remember I said that? Yeah. See, now that seems odd. See, everybody, well, let's get everybody praying. I don't want anybody praying for anything that we aren't in agreement on. And so I read off, see, Wanda and I talked about when she was going in for her heart operation. I sat down and we talked, Wanda and I talked together. We didn't talk in 15 minutes before the operation. We didn't say, that kind of stuff. You're wasting your time anyhow. Anyway, we had sat down and talked about, well, what's going on? And I went to Wanda. I said, okay, honey. I said, because why? It doesn't matter where I can stand. It only matters where she can stand for us being in agreement. We don't care about your faith. You're with a person. You want to get them the best you can get them by what they... What can you believe?
Amen.
And so I said with Wanda, what do you believe? When she went down through, well, I believe I have this operation. I believe I have a good recovery. I don't believe I ain't going to have any pain. Wanda never took any pain medication after she left the hospital. Never one time had her chest cut open. Had her breastbone completely cut open. Never one time had any pain or ever took any pain medications. It works. See, her faith works. Her faith works. What I did is God, I said, okay, you believe that? And I know you folks, I told you, I said, look, this is what we're believing. And I said, if you can agree with that, that's fine. Other than that, don't say anything else about it. Well, we found other people went and said things about it anyhow. You know, you can't get some people, you can't keep their mouth shut. They're going to go do things. But I knew this with people because people say, yeah, we're agreeing with you. We're agreeing with it. I'll never forget this. So Wanda was in the hospital that week. So she missed church that following Sunday. The next Sunday, she came into church. And the first thing that I heard people do about it, oh, my God, you're in church. We haven't agreed for a quick recovery. People didn't believe for the quick recovery. Mm-hmm. Now, you might say, all this time, look, you need to hear this stuff.
Amen. Great preaching.
And then they said, oh, my God, you look good, like you didn't have an operation. I thought that's what we were agreeing about. That's just... See, people say, I agree, but they don't. Mm-hmm. I wasn't surprised at all what things turned out. Amen. That's what we believe. The fact that that happened, that's the way it was supposed to happen.
Amen.
If you're surprised, you weren't in faith. Now, we have to be able to talk about this because if we don't, you will never go any further.
Amen.
You won't go any further. You should never be shocked that your prayers were answered.
Amen.
See, I do all my praising and thanking God and dancing and stuff when I believe I receive it.
Amen.
And you know, when the thing shows up, it ain't no surprise to Ed. That's what I thought was going to happen. That's what I said was going to happen. It's going to happen. Why would I want to dance and shout then? Don't take no faith to believe what you see. That's when I was over there going, woo, glory to God, this is turning out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I didn't sit and wring my hands wanting to have an operation. Why? Because her and I agree.
Amen.
She ain't going nowhere.
Hallelujah.
But home.
Amen.
That's it. And that ain't heaven. She gone home. See, this is why, people talk about faith, but let's not just talk.
Mm-hmm.
Their actions, the things aren't in line with what faith is. We're going to talk about speaking and not speaking.
Amen.
You know, some of you haven't succeeded in your faith because you said nothing. You say you were believing the right thing, but you ain't ever said nothing. And it won't produce any more than the guy who said the wrong thing. And we're going to talk about this. People who are afraid to say and speak their faith. They're afraid to. They're scared to. What if I say this and then it don't happen? Your fears. We're going to deal with these things. Happens all the time.
Amen.
People won't make statements. Let me just say this. We'll talk about these things. And this is good because, see how people do this all the time. They say, I'm believing God. They'll ask you to pray for him. And they'll say, well, you're going to be at church next Sunday. Well, I don't know if I feel all right. See, they have decided already. See, they say they're in faith. They're not in faith. They're into feelings. If my feeling says I can go to church, then I will. They're afraid to say, yep, I'm going to be there. See, Wanda's watched me. Wanda's over the years watched me go out the door of the church. And she, you know, said, man, I let her say to me, you go to the church like that. I mean, I'll tell you what, I felt like I was run over by a truck. And I said, if I go lay down and I go do this. And you know what? Never one time was I not perfectly healed before service time started. Never one time. See, I know how to bring healing quick. It's about what you do. I bring it quick. See, I don't sit around and say, well, you know, I tell you, well, I'll let you. If I don't feel good, I won't be. If I feel better, I won't be. And I always just say, hey. See, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, she decided when she was going to get healed. She got healed when she decided. God don't decide your healing, you do.
Amen. Preach.
You do. You decide when you're going to receive it. You do. I got it. See, when I got it, sometimes my body says, you ain't got nothing. I say, no, I got it. And I start acting like I'm going to got it. So I start making plans to do what I normally do. That's my plans. If you ask me what I'm going to do, I'm not going to say, well, if I feel better, I'm going to feel better. I'll go there if I'm feeling rotten, but till it's over, you're going to see me walking around straight and healed. That's what you're going to see. And I'll tell you what, I have done it hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. This thing works. I'm not one of these guys. Well, you know, I'm just pushing through the pain. I don't push through the pain. I push through my faith. It's about my faith. Whether you take medicine or don't take medicine. That ain't faith at all. Anything got nothing to do with faith. Whether you do or you don't. What are you doing by faith? See, you can take medicine by faith and it'll help you. Amen. And you can complain about the medicine and do yourself more harm taking it than complaining. Isn't this fun? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, people just shoot their faith right in the foot. Whatever isn't a faith is sin. There's people sitting around, they hate doctors. I hate to go to doctors. I hate to go to doctors. Then they turn around and get sick and go to the doctor. They wonder why things don't work. All you ever said, you hate doctors, don't like them, do this. And then go there and say, go try to play the faith game. Get out of here. Look, there are bad doctors, but there's good doctors. And if I need a doctor, I'll go to a doctor. And but I know how to believe God when I go there. Hallelujah. And I know he's like me. He probably needs good help too. You know, he might not be a lot smarter than me. Then we might be in trouble. But we can believe God. Hallelujah. God will make him smart for Ed. Hallelujah. But we'll talk about these things in more detail. Because people are not going to get quick recoveries. They're not going to get, because they have spent a lifetime saying things and saying things and saying things. Then all of a sudden they need to help in that area. They don't say, I'm just going to make a confession. It's going to be, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. Hallelujah. If you need to take the medication, you take medication. You got to follow what's in your heart to do. You have to do that. You got to follow your faith. Nobody can sit around and tell you, you know, you do this, do that. It is with people. Sometimes I know people are in a position and they need to take something, and that's fine. But you do it. You do it by faith. Hallelujah. You believe you're going to recover quick. You set your faith. Because if you don't, you will never get any more than the sinner gets. You will never get any more than the sinner gets. Being a saint does not guarantee you any better benefits in life than the sinner if you don't operate by faith. And I found out how to do it. You know, some things was hit and miss, but there's a lot of things I learned by listening to other people who had a lot more wisdom on this than I did. And I learned what they said about life and about doing things, and I learned from them. I paid attention, and I started copying what they said to do, and it absolutely worked.
Amen.
And I thought, well, some people want you to, well, you don't have to do it. Well, wait, hey, I know this works. I'm going to do this thing works. Hallelujah. And I like what works. And I just want to encourage you, get within yourself and set within yourself, God wants you well.
Amen.
You can go all the other things and do things of scripture, believing in healing, doing all kinds of stuff. You must become convinced that God wants you well.
Hallelujah.
You got to become convinced God wants you to prosper financially.
Amen.
You can't. If those things aren't settled within you, all the rest you try to build on it, it'll be on a foundation that'll collapse on you. The foundation of it, see, that's what it means. I don't care. It isn't about believing that God heals. I believe He wants me well.
Amen.
That's what with all my heart, I believe. I believe God wants Ed well.
Amen.
I don't believe God wants Ed well because I've gotten healed already and stuff. I believe, I was before that. I got it convinced of me. God wants me well. I need to learn how to hook up with this. How can I hook up with Him, what He wants for me?
Amen.
I know He wants me well. See, I know He wants me to prosper. I know it. God, how can I hook up you? Because see, I don't want to, you know, most people, let's say prosperity. The average Christian, they don't get any more prosperity than the world does. They just go to work and the money they make at work and to do things, it's just the same thing. The world does the same thing and some of them get richer than the saints do. See, there's one thing as I've learned over time. I've learned how to believe in God when faith is in it. Stuff started working in me. I could see God was in it working. God was bringing to pass. See, I can testify on God's goodness. That's what you want. What do you do when you tell the guy at work how God good is good to you and he makes the same amount of money you do on a job? He lives as good as you do. What do you do? See, this is one thing. The church can't reach the rich man. That's why there are hamburgers and hot dogs. Reach the guy that needs lunch. The rich man don't need your lunch. What are you going to testify to him? You have to see. I sat with ministers in this community, and I told them. I said, you know, because they're always doing the outreach, the poor, the poor, the poor. I said, you know, you guys hate the rich guy, and I said the reason you hate him because he can't buy your ticket. He don't need your hamburger or hot dog. God wants to reach them just like He wants to reach those guys. God wants to reach people, and the church can't reach them because they don't. No, we got to buy you in. Here, we'll pay some of your bills. We'll give you some of your food. We'll do. And you know what you do with those people? Quit giving them the hamburgers and quit paying some of their bills. See how long they stick around. We preach the hamburger hot dog salvation. You know, I want the God to be able to reach out to all men.
Amen.
If getting money separates you from God, well then you shouldn't want to ever get much money. You should go get a job, you know, digging ditches somewhere or something. So you don't earn so much money. So you get real close to God. All the people that really don't want to be rich are always trying to get rich. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Well, I did a lot of good meddling today.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what I was anointed to do, and I don't feel bad about it at all.
Amen.
No, the reason I don't is this. The whole point of this is God wants to bless you.
Amen.
And then God, this, it is not enough. God wants to bless you and make you a blessing. You've got to be able to carry this to other people.
Hallelujah.
We need to show to people this faith life is a wonderful, glorious
Amen.
Thing. When we trust God, it's the most fantastic thing you ever did in your life.
Amen.
It's the most. You're secure. You don't ever have to be afraid.
Amen.
When I learned I put my health, even lay my life.
Amen.
When I had my heart attack. Up inside of me, it rose up to go for a run. that's craziness. But you know, that was my, I'm going down the runway, but I'm taking off.
Amen.
I'm going down the runway, but I'm taking off. I just knew it. I just knew this. The devil couldn't take my life. I just knew this. God didn't want to take my life. See, are you convinced? Who wants to kill you? Is it God or the devil? Well, the God killed him for a purpose. Better watch it, Mike, going home here. God kills him for a purpose, you know. You know, People do that. I knew God was, there was only one person, the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I knew I will refuse. He's not going to be able to take my life.
Amen.
He's not going to be able to take my life. See, you got to, those are the things you have to be convinced of. Your faith is always limited to those areas of your fear of death. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
If fear comes, you've got to understand right away what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with the devil, and you're yielding to it if you're yielding to the fear.
Amen. Preach.
Man, if fear tries to come on me, I stop saying, no, I ain't going, we ain't going this direction. Mm-hmm. I refuse to be afraid.
Amen.
I refuse to fear.
Amen.
I refuse to worry. I refuse it. I ain't going to do it.
Amen.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell you, worrying and stuff will kill you quicker than anything. It'll cause you more bad health.
Amen.
Cause you more health problems. I'm serious. I'm serious. It will. Hallelujah. God has a plan to take care of you. And I'm just telling you today, you can walk it.
Hallelujah.
You can.
Thank you, Lord.
And it isn't hard. Hallelujah. Just get heavenly reasoning in your mind.
Amen.
There's a ministry. This minister since has gone home to be the Lord. But he had a ministry, and his ministry was called this. Let my people think. I thought that was the most interesting. Because you know what? I found out most Christians are thoughtless. They think, they don't think. See, the God gives us the ability to think in line with his. See, when God told Israel, you don't think my thoughts and my ways aren't your ways. When he said that, it's because they were living away from God. He told them this. See, they could have went the word and thought like he thought. See, you can think like God thinks.
Amen.
And you know what? You don't need any great education to do it.
Amen.
The scripture says he didn't call any many wise. Why? Because the people who think they're smart, they never get a hold of it.
Amen.
They're trying to use human reason. We have spiritual reason. God gives you wisdom. You get wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives it liberally.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, on that note alone, Father, I pray today for these ones here for wisdom, Lord God. Wisdom from which? Wisdom of how to walk the faith. Wisdom of how, Lord God, to measure things against the Word instead of against how things normally go in society and how people normally think. Lord God, Lord, there's a mind that we must put on. And I pray today, Lord God, that that mind of that wisdom, Lord God, and it's simple, it's nothing hard, it is simple, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, that you show them, show each one. It's not hard to believe and it's not hard to act on you believe. Oh, it is contrary generally to where the others are going. But look, it's not hard, and they can do it, Lord God. Show them, Lord God, the simplicity to be able to walk in these things. Lord God, you want them to have wonderful lives. You want them to have some heaven in the earth. Hallelujah. You don't want them to just get to heaven to find out it's good. You want them to find out right here in this earth, hallelujah, that you're good and your mercy endures forever. That you're good, hallelujah, and your mercy endures forever. That right here on the face of this earth, that you're as miraculous here as you are in heaven. You're as glorious here as you are in heaven. You will do your word just here, just like you would do it in heaven. You will fulfill all that you have said here, just like you would do there. Lord God, Father, we're just going to be as smart as the angels. We're going to pay attention here. Hallelujah. We're just going to be obedient, Lord God. Submit ourselves to you and allow your will and your plan to work through in our life, because Lord God is going to bless us, but Lord God is going to bless others.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, Lord, we are so fortunate, Lord God, because there's a glory in us. And Lord, that many don't have. And many, many Christians don't have the glory that they should. But Lord God, we want them to. We want every one of them to walk in the glory. We want everyone to take a hold of the glory that's in us, Lord God. Lord God, it changes us. And Lord, we know what it did in us. Oh, and we want it to do it in others. We want others to experience this great glory. And Father God, we're not going to be disappointed. We're not going to be disappointed. Lord God, Lord, I believe you're raising up leaders. Lord God, I believe you're raising up people that are going to set the standard. Lord God, not wait till somebody else puts up their standard. They will set the standard. They will take the standard of the Word of God and they will place it, Lord God, and they'll stand, hallelujah. Lord God, and they'll follow the Word. And Lord God, I'm going to tell you, people will come to that standard. People will come to it. People will see the life in the standard that God has established in people. And they're going to come to that standard. They're going to come. Lord God, people are looking for leaders. And they're looking for leaders, Lord God, that have done something, been somewhere. Lord God, they're not looking for the guy who just went through basic training or the guy who, Lord God, just got down through officer's candidate school. Lord God, people are looking for a guy who's been through life. They're looking for men and women who know how to live through life. Have walked through the wonderful places but the bad places and walk out on the other side in victory. And people are looking. People want a life of victory. And Lord God, they want people that can put up a standard and say, I know the Word works. I know the Word works. I know the Word works. Hallelujah. Because I've worked the Word and it works. Hallelujah. And Lord God, people are waiting for somebody to stand up and say, I know. No, not I think. And I got my opinion. And this is my idea. That people would stand up and say, I know which way to turn. I know to go to the right or to the left, or I know to go straight ahead. I know what God will do. Hallelujah. I know, Lord God, people are waiting for that. Hallelujah. Why not us? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord God, we're going to carry the standard, and it's a wonderful one.
Amen.
Jesus Christ glorified, Jesus Christ magnified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank as we go on and teach this, Lord God, people are rising to a higher level. A higher place. They will see. Lord God, they're going to see how they can help others to a higher level, to another place. Oh, Lord God, they're going to want to know what to do, Lord, because Lord, many people, they don't know what to do. Hallelujah. But Lord God, they need somebody to tell them. Lord, just like I needed somebody to. You raised up a guy through Kenneth Hagin to show me what to do. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for raising up somebody in my path. Lord God, raise me up in others' paths. Raise me up so I can tell them what I've learned, what I've known. Hallelujah. With the heritage that I have that was passed on to me by the Word. Hallelujah. That works, Lord God. Hallelujah. That's what we want to do. We want to pass it on. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, I went long today. Hallelujah. But there's a lot needs said in these areas.
Amen.
Time is short.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's live like it's short.
Amen.
People need to hear, hallelujah, and let's tell them the truth so they can be free.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.